Hello, party people, and welcome to Office Hours, the show where you post questions about the Microsoft data platform and then upvote each other's questions, and I take the highest rated ones and go answer those live on my Office Hours stream. You can get the URL where you post questions and answers in the description of this video. I'm coming to you from Palm Springs, California. I'm en route from San Diego to Las Vegas, and I stopped in Palm Springs. At the end of the video, I'll zoom in and show you my car that I'm taking. It actually happens to be within eyesight here, my Porsche 944 Turbo. So let's get into your highest voted questions. The top number one comes from I use lowercase for select and says, hi Brent, I just wanted to give you my support on your May 24th blog. I appreciate that. That's the post where I came out as pansexual, and I'll link that in the show notes too as well for y'all. And this is also Pride Month too as well. June is Pride Month, so it's a great month to look at the SQL Server community and build awareness for those who are different from you or the same as you if you're looking for support. Next highly voted question is from SQL Crooner, who asks, who would win a SQL trivia contest between you, Pinal Dave, Paul Randall, and Eric Darling? So there used to be SQL trivia contest at the annual PASS Summit conference. They used to have this Quiz Bowl conference or Quiz Bowl show that was hosted by Tim Ford of the SQL Server community. Tim would put together a set of trivia questions, and then you'd be put together in teams. And I remember one year I was on a team with Kevin Klein. One of the other teams was Paul Randall and Kimberly Tripp. And the trivia questions have been an interesting mix of some of them are pop culture, some of them are internal, some of them are error messages and so forth. Paul and Kim, if I remember right, won that year. And it was funny because like one of the trivia questions was the total number of digits from a Smashing Pumpkins album, for example. And some of them were DBCC CheckDB trivia. So, of course, it depends on the mix of questions that you get that day. But the four people that you picked there are people who do tend to know a lot of interesting oddball trivia amongst the SQL Server engine. So it's kind of fun to think about. I don't know if Tim's doing that this year at the PASS Summit. It kind of fell out that trivia contest hadn't been run the last couple few years of the PASS Summit, so I don't know if they're going to start that back up again. It was a lot of fun, though. I would totally do it again because I also don't mind making an idiot of myself if I get stuff wrong. Next up, Brandon F. asks, there's a street sweeper going by. Brandon F. asks, does SQL 22 have any killer performance features that make it a must-have upgrade from 2019? Okay, so I'm fresh off of playing with it. I played with it right before I went on this road trip. I don't really like digging too deep with community preview versions because things can change. The problem with 2022 right now is that it completely breaks performance monitoring for queries. The instant that you go into 2019 compat level, you can't tie statements and procedures together. You can't tie which statements were run by which procedures, or if you have Entity Framework code that builds a big long batch, you can't tie the statements and the batches together. This is something that has worked for over 20 years and is broken in CTB2. So for me right now, there's no amount of money that you could get me to move to 2022 because it basically breaks monitoring. I have hope that they're going to fix that. I don't think they see it as a bug. I think that they see it as this is the way we're going to do it. But I think that the outrage from performance tuners is probably going to be so loud that Microsoft has to change that approach. And from monitoring vendors too as well. I haven't put any time of my life into raising that awareness yet. I'll tell you, just, you know, between you, me, and the wall, because after all, how many people actually watch these videos, right? But I'll tell you, between you, me, and the wall, I'm waiting for the next CTP to drop, and if that problem is still the same, plus several other problems that I noted during playing around with CTP2, I'm going to write just an utterly scathing blog post about who in their right mind would go to 2022. But I'm trying to hold back on that ammo until I don't want to you know, burn that many bridges until it's obvious that Microsoft isn't going to fix that problem. So we'll see how it goes. Next up, you got to do what you got to do asks, hi Brent, do you know if Microsoft uses telemetry to do analysis on which features are the most or least used in order to model or deprecate features in new versions? Yes. That's one of the reasons that they say that they pulled the support for debugging in Management Studio. Management Studio used to have the ability to debug T-SQL. I didn't personally ever use it. I don't know a lot of people who used it. It wasn't ever something that I taught, because when you step through the debugger, you basically held your locks open, so that was an utter showstopper for production. I didn't ever recommend anyone using that on shared servers. So because it was so rarely used, it was such a pain in the rear in order to support. Microsoft said that they pulled the support from it from Management Studio 18, the 18 branch. There have also been cases where they said that they've added things to improve diagnostics to fix things based on what they saw from the telemetry as well. Next up, Too Much Spare Time asks, how much time, if any, do you spend running SP help text on systems, stored procedures, views, etc.? Zero. Absolutely none. And they go on to ask, what's the most interesting thing you've seen, or what kind of changes have you made? So my thing is whenever I do work on a SQL server, I have to be able to walk away from that SQL server and know that it's going to continue to function for years. My worst case scenario would be if a client paid me a sum of money in order to fix things, and then the very next cumulative update broke that whatever my fix was. They'd be like, Brent, you know, your fix broke again. I do know consultants who do that kind of thing, who are like, now every time that you apply an update, you need to call me back in order to pay me to fix it. And they make it seem to the customer like they're fixing a Microsoft problem, when in reality they're just introducing recurring billing for themselves. I think that's slimy and sleazy. So I don't fix things by changing system objects, just because I don't want to be that consultant who is milking my clients for something that's just not necessary. Next up, Jacob says, hi Brent, you mentioned previously that you recommend turning off adaptive memory grants and scalar function inlining in 2019. Can you elaborate more on the problems you found with these features? Yes, and I do in my mastering query tuning classes. In my mastering query tuning classes, I spend about half an hour on each of those, showing where they work effectively and where they don't work effectively, and where you want to turn them on and why you want to turn them off by default. I always feel guilty whenever I mention my classes in these, just because I don't want it to feel like I'm purposely holding back answers from y'all in order to make you pay. If I could give you a 30-second answer on those, I absolutely would. But the whole reason that I have training classes is that some things need more than a 30-second answer. Some things need hands-on demos. And that's where the training classes come in. If I could solve something for you for free, like think the SP Blitz scripts, SP Blitz cache, SP Blitz index, I absolutely am all about doing that. And hey, you're watching this for free, right? I mean, I want to solve your problems for free wherever I can. Next up, have you tried turning it off and on, asks, we want to implement RCSI on a system that's got 10,000 batches a second, 4.5 terabytes, 7,000 live sessions to help reduce blocking. What QA do you suggest to make sure the output to queries won't be affected? Any books or videos to consult? Yes, and I talk about that in the Mastering Server Tuning class. Well, let's stop for a second here and just talk about the specs on this server. 10,000 queries a second, 4.5 terabytes. At 10,000 queries per second and 4.5 terabytes, you shouldn't expect free answers anymore for this level of work. When you hit 10,000 batch requests a second, you don't want to just go and approach a server and make changes willy-nilly. You want to carefully think about things, instrument them. You want to get advice from someone who's done it before, because if you make a mistake at 10,000 queries per second, that's obviously catastrophic. Here comes the street sweeper again. So just as an FYI, I'm not telling you this just for my own office hours type stuff. I'm telling you, you can post questions on things like DBA.StackExchange or SQL Server Central, but just because you get answers there doesn't mean you can stop. If you go, well, okay, nobody on SQL Server Central could figure out anything else I needed to do, we're probably fine. No. At 10,000 batch requests a second, you need to run experiments. You need to have load testing to actually prove that the thing that you want to do is safe. So that's just, I want to give you a word of warning there. I don't want you to ever think that someone will bless your system at 10,000 queries per second for free over the internet. Well, MuleDonkey42 said we're okay, so let's go do it. No. You're in the big leagues now. Next up, let's see here. Keller says, I have a query with an inner join and two columns in the where clause. Join columns are not the primary key. I'm getting suspicious there already. What is the best way to create the index on both tables? So what you want to do is you want to post a question on a site like, so this is a great example of where you can get help for free from the internet. Post the table schema and the queries that you want to go faster, post the table schema and the queries that you want to go faster over on a site like dba.stackexchange or sqlserversentral.com, because then that way people will be able to see exactly how your tables are laid out and they'll be able to say, okay, here's an example of an index that will make your queries go faster. Because a person who's asking this is obviously not dealing with 10,000 batch requests a second. You can start to see how the world is a little different and how where it makes sense to get free answers and where it doesn't. Also, at the same time, I can't give you the right indexes without seeing the table structure. It's not that I won't do it. I absolutely do that as part of consulting. You don't want to hire me for that. Go to dba.stackexchange or sqlserversentral.com and post that schema there. Edward asks, the auto numbering for an identity column got inserted late. Oh, the next number was inserted before the actual number should be inserted. For example, ID number 1 was inserted at 1 second, and ID number 2 was inserted at 1 second and ID number 1 went in with 1 second and 1 millisecond. ID number 2 went in with just 1 second and no milliseconds. I'm paraphrasing because you can't see the exact times he put in. How is this possible? Is it something to do with disks? No. So what you're using here in yours is an example with, you're using not just seconds, but sub-millisecond granularity. My guess is that you're using date time and not date time 2. Date time isn't exact. Date time 2 is more exact based on the data types that you're putting into your question. I'm guessing that you should be using date time 2 if you really truly care about that. However, even having said that, identities don't necessarily tie in to the exact millisecond level of precision. You can't guarantee stair-stepping of ID number 1 and ID number 2 and ID number 3 will always go in first. I'm trying to think of another example that I've seen with it, where around transactions, where someone was using a getDate variable, where they set a variable, but then they inserted the row later, and the timing under a heavily loaded system, the time where you got the getDate versus the time that you did the insert can have varying amounts of time based on CPU scheduling, how many other tasks are on the same cores. So there you go. If you absolutely need the IDs to go up in exactly the same order as date times. First, make sure you're using date time two. Second, make sure that you're generating the date time as part of the table structure, not as part of your T-SQL. Like get date should be part of the default on the table. You shouldn't insert it explicitly. And then make sure that you're not doing complex inserts across multiple tables, like you have foreign child or foreign key integrity, where SQL Server has to go and check that stuff. That should pretty much get you pretty close. All right, next up, let's see here. Oh, it's the last one. Preben says, in your training classes, do you touch on the subject of using apply instead of join in order to force a specific query plan? If yes, what training? Okay, first start with fundamentals of query tuning. In fundamentals of query tuning, I describe that your T-SQL is a declarative language. You are declaring the shape of your result set, not the shape of the plan. You can use T-SQL to declare the shape of your plan, but generally speaking, when you do that, you're going to have worse performance results instead of better. If you haven't been through any of my training classes or any of Itzik Ben-Gon's books, stop using T-SQL to shape the plan. Either start going through my training classes or Itzik Ben-Gon's books. Both of those are great approaches. Eric Darling's training would be another example if for some reason you don't like me. But go through official training classes to start to learn how T-SQL affects the shape of the plan, but also what are better ways to affect the shape of the plan. I get really nervous when I see people say things like you should use apply because it produces these kinds of joins, or you should use nested loop hints, or you should use hash join hints or something, because they think that they know better than the query optimizer. And then what they're really doing is they're building technical debt that never goes away. You're piling up this technical debt because you're constantly forcing SQL Server into specific execution plans, when in reality your data keeps changing. The data distribution keeps changing. The SQL Server version that you're on keeps changing. The hardware that you're on keeps changing. So the joins and estimates that were great 6 months ago or a year ago no longer make sense in newer versions. And then you're constantly finding yourself going, oh, SQL Server made a dumb decision again. I guess I got to change my hint. And I'm like, no, actually, you should stop using those kinds of hints. Declare the shape of the results you're looking for. Let SQL Server build the appropriate plan based on your data distribution. And when the app is mature, unlike your T-SQL skills, yeah, I said it, when the app is mature, then by that time you're going to find out specific holes in the data distribution where SQL Server doesn't make a good execution plan. And then you can go back and revisit some of those using the techniques that you learned in the tuning classes or books. If you want the answer on that one, it's start with my fundamentals of query tuning class, then move on to mastering query tuning. All right, well, there's the questions that are piled up in PollGab. Now I'll show you the car that I'm doing for the road trip here. Let's see. Let's move over. So we are in Palm Springs here. And down there is my chariot for this road trip. So it's a Porsche 944 Turbo, 1988, bought it off of Cars and Bids. Incredibly well sorted. It's only got about 20,000 miles on it. Just a beautiful car. Shifts like it was brand new. Absolutely fantastic. There's one minor problem with it, and it's an especially big problem given where we're at here. We're out in Palm Springs, California. Absolutely gorgeous. But you know what's important out here is air conditioning. And the air conditioning on that car is not working up to par. So that's it for today's office hours. I will go out and go enjoy some of these roads and views, and I will see y'all next time. Adios.